Let's call this meeting to order. Representative Gazelka, did you read the minutes yet?
Yes.
And you thoroughly understand them and approve them, right?
Move the minutes of...
All in? Move the minutes to April 6th? Okay, all in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries, minister approved. Okay, now, we have just, I think it's been distributed throughout every, the audience and everywhere else. The bill is out and, with that, Mr. Soderberg, do you want to start going through the spreadsheet for us? Welcome to our committee.
Mr. Chairman and members,
your committee.
I'm Ron Soderberg. I'm the fiscal analyst for the committee, and I'm just going to walk through the spreadsheet. First of all, I'll just briefly remind everybody how the spreadsheet is laid out. On the left-hand columns, you'll find the delete all amendments that the chairs mark up. Numbers, and on the right-hand column is the governor's recommendations. The far right-hand, the two furthest right-hand columns are that of the comparison between the governor and the chair's markup. A negative would show the House to be below the governor. A positive would mean the House is above the governor. I'll just start right on line one with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. The first item is the Biobusiness Alliance of Minnesota. The chair's markup would fund that one time at $467,000. The governor's recommendation was $500,000. Next is the Office of Entrepreneurship is established in the bill with Indeed. It's $120,000 in 07, and that carries forward into 08 as a permanent funding. The next is the University of Minnesota Mayo Biotech Genomics Partnership. This is out of the Healthcare Access Fund. It's $18 million one time in 07, and that's the same as the governor had recommended. The final one is kind of a cleanup language, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say the final one. The other one, Small Business Assistance, is kind of cleanup language from last year's bill. You may remember the testimony that this was provided for in last year's bill, and at that time we didn't book any numbers because we didn't know if it was a permissible charge off for the office's assistance. The final item is just a notation that the PF Public Facilities Authority's bonding authority is increased in the bill from $1.25 billion currently to $1.5 billion. Lines 9 through 12 then are a summary of the effects on the overall department effects. You can see the general fund effects, the healthcare acts, the all fund effects, and then the department total and direct statutory effects. Again, the comparison overall is the House is $87,000 above the governor on general fund, $240,000 in the out years, and that carries through for all of the funds. Moving on to the Department of Commerce. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer the first one. The construction code consolidation is going to be, you're going to see this throughout. I'm going to wait until we get to the Department of Labor and Industry since most of the activity is in that department. So I will just hold off on discussing the effects on the Department of Commerce with that particular governor's recommendation. The MCHA, or the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association, assessment reduction is being handled in the Health Finance Committee and is not a part of this budget. What the dollar amounts that may go towards that will be reflected in the Health Finance Committee. You'll recall on the right-hand side for your information, the governor had recommended $10 million a year You know, starting in 07 and going out through at least 08 and 09. The next one is a petrol fund item. It's the MnDOT reimbursement. I think the committee also will probably remember the discussion on that. That's just to settle with MnDOT the claims they have against the petrol fund for the cleanup activity. And that will be done in 06 and 07. And that will eliminate any further claims that they're aware of at this point. The pre-purchase propane fuel program is within the low-income heating assistance program. This was heard just yesterday by the committee, so you'll know what it is. It would require $20,000 of expenditure of existing federal funds for the program to be implemented. Again, the department totals, and you can see that the House is $548,000 above the governor, and that reflects the initiative of the House as it relates to the governor's construction code consolidation. The Boxing Commission is the bill would reestablish the Boxing Commission as was recommended by the governor. The first year funding would be forward funding of the commission of $50,000. After that, the commission would receive its appropriation out of their special revenue fund, the commission's account in the special revenue fund. I should note at this point that the bill provides that the Boxing Commission must be self-supporting after the initial forward funding or startup cost funding. At this point, the fee structure does not accomplish that. And there is a provision or a rider in the bill that the commission should report back to the legislature next year as a part of their budget with a revised fee structure that would accomplish them becoming self-supporting. Moving on to the Department of Labor, the governor's initiative for the one-stop licensing system. The delete all amendment would move that initiative 1 year out. In other words, the governor was requested that start in 06 and be funded in 07 with tails in 08, 09. The best way to probably explain this is it shifts the columns out one column to the right. There would be some initial planning design money for phase one planning design money in 07, and then the House position would be that the governor's 07 dollars would be programmed in 08, 09, and everything just moves out 1 year. The code construction is, there's several line items on the sheet that relates to the code construction consolidation. What happened is the governor's initiative really began last year when he, through executive order, transferred four construction code units from other departments to the Department of Labor and Industry. And this initiative is kind of the governor's recommendation for bringing the funding of that executive order so that would be a code construction unit, which would consist of the boilers and pipe fitters, which was in Dolly, the contractors and remodelers, which was in Commerce and was through the executive order transferred to Dolly, the plumbing and engineering division, which was in the Department of Health, the Board of Electricity, which used to be a standalone board, which has now been folded into Dolly, and the building construction or the building codes division, that which used to be over in administration. Those became the code consolidation under the executive order. They were all put into Dolly, into one unit in Dolly. Three of those units were direct appropriations, two from the general fund and one from the special revenue fund. And two of them were statutory appropriations. In other words, money that was collected, fees and licenses, were placed into an account and statutorily appropriated to for the function. The governor was, the recommendation would have had the all of the money that currently that goes to the general fund would go to the new construction code fund. And rather than directly appropriating for the units, and the units would be the one in the Department of Commerce, the residential contractors and remodelers unit, as well as the boiler and pipe, high pressure piping units, they would then become funded out of a special revenue or the code construction account and no longer be directed. I guess what I'd say in a long way is that the House, or the delete all amendment, adopts the governor's recommendation but delays the effectiveness for 1 year, is what it comes down to. And so if you look at the sheet, you'll notice that the numbers that are in the governor's column for 07 are now in are the House column 08, and they're blank in 07, the same ones. And that's kind of what the delete all amendment would do. And that's true for Department of Commerce, line 16, as well as all of DALI, and also the construction code under the Department of Health. So that's what the delete all would do, is delay that 1 year. That wraps up Article 2, which is the appropriations. And we'll move on to Human Services. That confuse everyone enough? If you have any questions, go ahead. I'll try to answer them. Moving on to the Department of Human Services, several of the items relate to a, you'll recall the governor was looking to refinance TANF to free up general fund dollars. He was doing, the governor's recommendation was to do it over 3 years at $10,067,000 a year. The House delete all amendment is refinancing TANF in the first year, in 07, at $27,595. If you look at line 62 on page 2, you'll see the Working Family Credit Initiative. This is a refinancing of the working general fund dollars that are going to the Working Family Credit with TANF. And what it is it's an appropriation to the commissioner for transfer to the Department of Revenue, Commissioner of Revenue, of TANF dollars to be placed in the general fund. And it's $5,151,000. Beginning under MFIP Diversionary Work Program grants, this is just a repositioning of money. It's a net zero effect on the programs, both in 06 and 07. In order to accommodate MOE, there needed to be a repositioning of the finances. The governor had done it at $7.4 million a year. The House is at $7.84 million a year. What it does is it reduces the general fund in 06. That fills the reduction with TANF dollars. And in 07, it's the opposite. The general fund dollar amount is increased, and the TANF dollars are decreased. The next item is the under MFIP Child Care Assistance Grants. This provision, there's a provision in the bill that changes the policy for absent day, and this is to pay for that provision. That carries forward also for the basic sliding fee child care grants. You can see it's $62,000 the first year for the MFIP for the child care under on line 82. For the basic sliding fee, it's $46,000, and the details are carried out in the future. The next item is just a statutory. There's a provision that allows the commissioner to use the federal or the increased child care funds for that were received under the Federal Reduction Act of 2005, and this just shows how those dollars flow out. Again, the statutory. The Child Support Enforcement Grants, you'll recall there was the federal law required a new $25 child support enforcement fee. The bill provides that these dollars will go to the counties exclusively except the first year. There will be $155,000 going to the counties, and if you go down to line 110, you'll see that same item, and here there's $100,000 that is that will be retained in the first year by the department for their implementation cost. The next item is another TANF refinancing item. In this case, it's refinancing for the Social Services Block Grant to the tune of $22,444,000. The general fund appropriation for the grant programs are reduced by that amount, and TANF is increased by $22,444,000. The next item is another one that you heard about just a couple of days ago. It's that federal hurricane relief funds that were provided, and this just shows $154,000 for that purpose. The final item under the department is an appropriation out of the special revenue fund. It's coming out of the telecommunications access fund, or is it telephone access fund? But it's would be $175,000 each year, and that carries on. That becomes a base adjustment in the future. And the lines 111 through 115 show the department totals and the effects of the bill on the department for both direct appropriations as well as direct and statutory appropriations. Moving on to page 3. This is kind of the bill summary. It shows the general fund of effects of the bill. These are direct appropriations: the health care access fund, the petrol fund, the special revenue fund, and the TANF funds in 06-07. Move across to 08-09, you'll see there's also the effects of the Department of Health special state government special revenue funds. The revenue items in the bill, there's a $200,000 when they rescored the unemployment insurance policy bill, there was a general fund gain of $200,000, and that is now on the sheet. There is the refinancing, or the TANF for working family credit, which is shown as a revenue for the general fund, so it's deposited in the general fund, and you can see the out years. Lines 136 through 138 shows the bill's general fund impact. It's at the target that the committee was given. And the rest of the items, I think we've discussed mostly, and they're the non-general fund revenue items of the bill.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions from the members? Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking on line 96 where it says Children's and Community Service Grants Direct, and, you know, we're taking $22 million out of the general fund, and it looks like we're replacing it with TANF dollars. Is there anyone here that could tell me what General and Community Service Grants Direct means?
Mr. Soderbergh.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the Children's and Community Service Grants is back into, this is before my time with this account, but as I understand it, there used to be several programs that were funded under the, that were funded separately, and in 2003 there was a initiative put forward that would allow this money to become more of a block grant type approach to funding these programs, and that is my understanding what happened. And so it covers an array of services.
So, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Mahoney.
I understand that it's not Mr. Soderbergh's expertise to know exactly what's included in those grants. So, I mean, is there someone from the department here?
We'll certainly see. Welcome. Give your name for the record, please.
My name is Mary Orr with the Department of Human Services. Mr. Soderbergh is correct. In 2003, there were a variety of state and federal grants used for community social services that were consolidated into the Children and Community Services kind of a block grant, and so it's a combination of state and federal dollars, and some of the money in that is Title 20 or social services block grant dollars. And under the federal TANF regulations, there are allowable transfers from the TANF fund to the social services block grant, and social services block grant is one large piece of the children and community services funding here, the grant.
Is there some place I could get a list of what those are? I mean, Ron and yourself have both said service, community service block grant. So is it like mental health? Is it physical health? Is it child care? Is it medical services? Is it trying to keep families together? I'm trying to figure out. Looks like we're laundering money to me. And and I'm just trying to figure out whose laundry we're doing here and how we're doing it. So,
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, the Children and Community Services grant funding can be used for a variety of social services that can include county social services, some mental health services. The block grants used primarily for services to children, social services to children, but can also be used for social services to adult populations.
Go ahead. I still don't understand what the heck the money was used for, and I guess if I need to, I can always call my county commissioner. Maybe he can give me a better answer. But just tell me what those block grants were. I mean, services, community services, children's services, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, there are a variety of services like case management kinds of services that are done for families and children at the county level. There would be other kinds of services when children are placed out of the home that support some of the planning for those families. There are just a variety of services that can be covered, county and local costs, contracted costs that can be covered with this funding source.
Representative Slawick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Orr, correct? You know, I want to ask you a question about this. I think Representative Mahoney's brought up a good point, and I'm going to focus a little bit different from the money laundering point back to what's funded by this. We've asked three times to have this taken up as a legislative audit. What happened to the money before it was block granted? What happened when it became block granted? Is that the right word? Mm-hmm. And to try to see what happened with that. There's a feeling out there that there was a significant reduction when that happened. Since we can't seem to get it in the legislative audit, maybe you could provide us with a list and what the list was before this went in, what the list is now, what the list has been the last 3 years.
Sure. Representative Gunther and Representative Slavik, we'd be happy to provide the combination or the list of grants prior to the 2003 consolidation and then explanation of the variety of ways that the grant funding can now be spent. That would be helpful.
Representative Slavik. Well, that show also as well totals, not just the programmatic descriptions, but the totals of.
We can show what the sum of the individual grants were prior to 2003 in the consolidation, and then what the consolidated grant amounts are currently in the base funding.
Mr. Chair. Okay, I would very much appreciate that because it is hard to know what happened with that. Now, I have a question. I don't know if this is a fair question for the department or if you know the answer to this question, but this whole idea of taking TANF money and turning it into general fund money, were the block grants created to do that as a vehicle?
Yes, or.
Representative Slavik, the federal TANF law does allow up to 30% of the TANF funds to be transferred both to a combination of the social services block grant and to the child care development block grant. So the federal law does permit in a particular year that you are allowed to transfer up to 30% of your TANF lot grant to these other funding sources. And so that is permissible under the federal law.
Mr. Chair.
Was
there a correlation? Did that happen around 3 years ago, or has that always been permissible? I'm just kind of wondering if we created the block grants because it was a sort of pass-through vehicle. I don't know if you can exactly answer that, but the timing is interesting.
Mr. Chair, Representative Slawick, the 30% transfer possibility has been in the TANF law since its inception. I think there had been some varying amounts for the social services block grant. Within that 30%, there had been subcaps, like for the social services block grant, and that subcap currently sits at 10%.
Mr. Chair.
Jim Starr.
But before the block grants were created, could you do that?
Ms. Moore.
Mr. Chair, Representative Slawick, I'm not quite following you on which block grant. For the community social services funding, the state funding, what would have been permissible prior to that consolidation would have been just the social services block grant. So that transfer from TANF to social services block grant would have been possible prior to the consolidation of the children and community services as well as after. So that hasn't changed.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Flump, Representative Flump.
Do you know if the federal government has taken any interest in states that are doing practices like taking TANF monies and turning them into general fund monies? Has that come up on the radar screens?
Mr. Chair, Representative Slawick, I think there has been some oversight of transfers, but as long as they're within the parameters of the federal law, they're passed. I mean, the oversight, I mean, basically we're in compliance with the federal law with these transfers.
Representative Search.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I promise not to argue with Representative Wilkin today. We're both Catholic, and I have to give up meat today, but also I think on Fridays I'll give up arguing with Representative Wilkin, but I'll be back and ready to roll on Monday.
What a committee.
Thank you. I have a few questions, and they don't have to be answered right now. I just know that folks have to sign up today to testify by 5 p.m., and I will have some questions on Monday for the department and some of the groups affected. What I would like to see, because my general fear in this budget and in previous year budgets since I've been here is the, if you want to call it laundering, that's an appropriate word. If you want to call it washing, I've heard before as well. There are a bunch of creative words to say basically we're taking transfers. Yes, thanks, Representative Westenberg. There's many words you can use, but basically what we're doing is we're losing dedicated, real general fund dollars from this committee and replacing them with monies that is called TANF, but we must remember that that's just an acronym for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and I think we always have to keep that in mind. I'm going to have quite a few questions for the department based upon the reliability of using TANF dollars, temporary assistance for needy families, in our budget, and why they feel that is a more reliable funding stream, an appropriate funding stream than general fund dollars on Monday. So I just wanted to give them a heads up on that so that they bring that information with them, because the last thing I want to happen on Monday is we'll get back to you. And that's a great way of saying we're going to make decisions and then I'll get the information after the vote's taken. So I just want to make notice to that, to the departments and groups affected, if they're willing to testify on how that affects them as well. Also, if I could ask, because this isn't the first year this has happened in budget years as well, perhaps Mr. Soderberg can look back a few years, maybe go back to the year 2000 and see, number one, how much general fund dollars we've had transferred out of this committee in budget years and non-budget years, but then also how much washing from dedicated dollars, TANF dollars and the like, how much washing we've done of those dollars compared to how we used to spend money, general fund dollars. Do you understand the question? Okay. I'll just go back maybe through bienniums, 2000 and now. I'd just like to get a handle on those numbers. What's that?
Five by, as I remember during this one, Chairman was of this committee was Representative Trimble.
That's fine. If you want to go back five, that works as well. I'm concerned on that. So that's all I got for now.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we're along the same line of the TANF questions here. I think the answer we got about the cap being... Oh, where did she go? Can I ask Ms. Orr to come back? I think she... Or whoever would be appropriate. Unless you'd like to send somebody else, that's fine, too. I mean, really, is there somebody... Are you the one we should be asking around TANF issues?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, it depends on your question.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you said that there's a 30% cap that can be transferred to other, maybe it's to the social service block grant, but to other social services. You know, when I was looking at this, so that's for all social services, right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, the 30% transfer cap applies to TANF funds transferred in combination to, it's a total cap on transfer amounts to the Social Services Block Grant and to the Child Care Development Fund.
Okay.
So in 1 year, that's the most you could transfer from TANF to either of those other funding sources.
So the other 70% is still supposed to go to TANF-related concerns, right? And it...
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, the remaining funds would then be stay in the TANF balance, correct?
Well, when I was looking at this spreadsheet, one of the things that I couldn't quite figure out is it looks like we're also using TANF for tax relief. The Working Family Credit, which is something I strongly support, but it looks like we're sending $5 million over to the tax, to the revenue department to pay for taxes, for a tax program.
Which line is that on? 62.
Yes, line 62. Very important program. Makes a lot of difference in the lives of low-income families. I strongly support it. Have we been doing this in the past, and are we just continuing a practice, or is this a new way to spend TANF funding?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, there already is some base TANF funding for the Working Family Credit. This would increase that amount.
Can you, Mr. Chairman, can you give us an idea of what was it before, now that it's looks like $5 million in 1 year? What was it before that we're increasing it from? Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, looks like the funding is around $17 to $18 million currently as part of the base funding that goes to the Department of Revenue for Working Family Credit.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, do other states do this? Do they put money into their tax programs from TANF?
Representative Clark. Other states have do some coordination with the Working Family Credit to the extent they use direct TANF for doing transfers like this. I don't know that specifically, but other states have looked. When the federal welfare reform came into play, other states also were using that as a way to promote Working Family Credit programs in their states one way or another.
Mr. Chairman, I believe, you know, when we first instituted Working Family Tax Credits, it came out of the general fund. You know, it wasn't they weren't taking out of this specific program. And maybe you could, again, you can bring back that information. So if I just, you know, I'm trying to figure out how we could keep funding in this committee, Mr. Chairman, for all the needs we need, and the tax committee maybe should be coming up with some funding for this program. So insofar as you could give us a historical view on that, I guess I'd appreciate that.
Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I'm going to take a page from my good colleague, Mr. Sertich, because I'm working here at the UMayo Biotech Genomic Partnership, and I'm not entirely sure what, and that's on line 5, I think it is. Not entirely sure what the $18 million is for. what they're going to do with it. So I certainly hope the U-Mail partnership is here to explain it on Monday. But I'm also wondering, Mr. Chair, you know, and maybe it's your particular position, or you might want to get someone here to explain how we take money out of the Health Care Access Fund, which I believe is really for to provide health care to low-income and working families, low-income working families, and turn it over to a research facility, because that's what I think the U-Mayo partnership was for. We should really kind of figure out what we're doing there, because if we're taking money from, you know, my county spent a ton of money just paying back for uncompensated care at the local hospital, I'm sure that that's a consistent across the board for every one of our counties, because we all have hospitals that have uncompensated care and have to reimburse them somehow or another. If we're taking money from them to give to a research facility, we better have a good explanation, or our county commissioners might have a couple comments for us. And, you know, there's always five of them to one of me, so.
If you need help, call me. So I certainly can understand where you're going from, and it's my understanding that this is from a surplus in that fund, but other than that, there has traditionally been a surplus, and we've accessed this fund, in my opinion, way too often. But in a way, there's a little poetic justice here, is that because Mayo spends $22 million into the Health Care Access Fund. I don't know what the university does, but I'm sure it's a substantial number. And a little bit, they're getting some of it back.
To that point.
Okay. To that point, Representative
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask Mr. Soderberg if he could go back five bienniums, if you'd like, again, and see how much money we've taken from the Health Care Access Fund to go to different places in the budget, please. And I have a funny feeling that's going to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, Mr. Chair, I have a feeling you're right. Representative Mahoney.
And Mr. Soderberg, maybe you could do it by biennium, so list them, you know, the what is 5 years ago would have been 95, and then 97. You know, whatever, just list it by the 2 years. So we can do math here, too, so we can add up certain numbers. Not too many big ones, though.
Not nearly as good as you can, Mr. Soderberg.
I'm sorry?
We can't do math nearly as good as you can. Representative Park.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the reasons we have excess of the Health Care Access Fund is because of the restrictions that we place on it, and we could be covering a lot more families if we didn't have some of those restrictions in small businesses and all of those kinds of...
Didn't we lift some of those restrictions last session?
Well, we have a ways to go, Mr. Chair. If I could just comment about, though, the affordability question, which I think is a very reasonable question, and I do hope this will, you know, give you an opportunity, all of us an opportunity to try to ask that question of our folks who are getting bioscience dollars. Is what are they, how does the health care access funding that they're getting or any funding, public subsidy they're getting, contribute to the affordability of the products they're creating? So I think, you know, we talked about that amendment, and I hope it'll be looked on kindly by this committee. I think it's one that should have, you know, broad support. This just points out again why it's a very reasonable question to ask.
Certainly appreciate that. Any other questions? Representative Slavik.
Mr. Chair, just three quick ones, and Ms. Orr might want to come back down to the table. First of all, Mr. Soderstrom, can you just explain briefly the change in the working family credit? How many more families get access to that, and how much money does it put in the pockets of Minnesotans in reality?
Mr. Soderberg.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Slavik, I'll give you my best shot at it. I haven't worked with the Tax Committee now for three, four biennials, but this money would, the working family credit, the amount of working family credit that Minnesotans would qualify for does not change with this money. What this money does is it's an allowable expense, as I understand it, for TANF, that states could go back and establish how much of the working family credit goes to TANF qualified families, and it's a permissible to use TAF to pay for that, the equivalent dollar amounts of general fund that that would be.
Mr. Chair?
It
so it's really not expanding its eligibility or anything whatsoever. It's just one of those mechanisms.
That's why, yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Pollack, that's why it's shown as a revenue on the spreadsheet. It's, this money will be deposited in the general fund.
Okay. I didn't quite get that was one of those two. Thank you. This, second of all, just briefly, because I'm, you know, it's all kind of coming together, we're trying to form these questions and figure this out, is Ms. Orr on, isn't the difference, I mean, I think why we're struggling with this, isn't TANF really the welfare program where we're supposed to be helping needy families, and the general fund, we're going to help whoever, there's no guidelines? TANF is definitely has income.
Ms. Orr.
Mr. Chair, Representative Flowick, TANF, by its title, is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and so there are restrictions that come along with those federal dollars that wouldn't necessarily apply then to the general fund dollars. So there are restrictions that come along with the federal dollars, and there are four purposes for TANF, all directed at needy families.
So we're really taking $27 million from needy families?
Representative Slawick, when you do do some of the transfers that are being proposed here under the House proposal, when you transfer funds, for example, to the Social Services Block Grant, then those transfer funds do take on the requirements of the Social Services Block Grant. And similarly, if you transfer TANF funds to the Child Care Development Fund, it takes on then the requirements of the Child Care Block Grant.
Mr. Chair?
Representative
Flowers. I may have more questions on Monday, too, I think. I need to think that through in terms of exactly how that money works. My last one is I still don't understand, Mr. Chair. I mean, this is kind of a complicated bill, and things move very quickly around here, as you know, and we're not always, I'm not always in the know on what's happening, but what happened to the $10 million that was proposed for the early childhood bill? I still don't understand where that went. And I guess in Ways and Means something happened to it. Was it just lumped with the $27 million?
I'm on Ways and Means. I don't remember it at all. So I'm with you. If there was the $10 million, I don't know where it went and who got it. But maybe somebody in the audience might know that. Anybody know about the $10 million?
Mr. Chair, if the governor's going to propose using the $10 million and then it doesn't seem to be anywhere, it seems...
The governor proposed $10 million and all of a sudden it's not here.
Right.
We'll ask the governor's staff, I promise.
So, Mr. Chair, it's here somewhere, but we just don't know where.
We're going to find it.
Okay. I would like to know.
Representative?
I don't know exactly where it showed up on things, but I'm assuming if it's early childhood, it'd be the K-12 committee. We don't deal with that stuff here, obviously.
Mr. Chair,
I'm not on K-12, so I disavow any knowledge of where the money is.
I think the thread is it was TANF money. That's why there's a common thread over in this committee, because we are the ones that turn around or wash or scrub or whatever.
Shift.
Okay. That's where it does come into play over here. Somehow that was shifted in and out, I think. But if we could find out, I'd appreciate it. Yes. Thank you.
Representative Clark.
Chairman, I got to go back and ask another question about the Working Family Tax Credit. And I don't know again if it requires who it requires. Maybe Ms. Soderberg. Because I just want to see if there's an option here, Mr. Chairman, for us to decide something about this money. When this appears on our sheet here, does that mean that there's a savings to the tax committee and they're taking, you know, in other words, it's being spent, they're saving off of the backs of TANF fund. This basically is what I'm trying to figure out. And so that this money could be coming from the general fund, but it's just a wash because it's actually a subtraction on their ledger.
Mr. Silver.
Mr. Chairman, I'll give it my best shot. Mr. Representative Clark.
Go ahead. Thank you.
This committee, as I understand, was given a target of $26.75 million reduction. And as part of that meeting that target, it includes that provision. And that provision will save the general fund $5,151,000. And that's so I don't know where the money, you know, the way targets work around here, I don't know that you can track where that money went, but that's the effect of it.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Clark,
our redirecting those funds isn't going to hurt the program if it's available to come out of the general fund, then, is it? Thank you.
I think the same amount of money is what you're saying is in the programs, regardless if it's general fund dollars or TANF. Is that what you were just saying?
No, that's what I understand.
You're educating me again.
Well, I'm learning too, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else have questions? Thank you very much. Miss Long, you want to read them from where you're at?
We'll
go through the narrative part of our bill right now.
Mr. Chair, I will begin going through the policy provisions of the bill. I will be working off of the bill summary, and the policy provisions start on page 4 at section 7. Section 7 of the bill is from Representative Gazelka's House File 3133 and adds Explore Minnesota Tourism to the list of agencies that may designate additional unclassified positions in the state civil service. Section 8 of the bill is from Representative Hackbarth's House File 3711 and extends the deadline for reimbursement from the Petroleum Tank Relief Cleanup Board for the cost of retrofits for retail locations and transport vehicles until September 1st, 2006, effective retroactively from August 1st, 2003. Section 9 is from Representative Cornish's House File 3947 and requires the Rural Policy and Development Center to report to the legislature on the status of rural Minnesota by January 15th of each odd-numbered year. Section 10 is language that was worked out between Representative Clark and Deed that requires Deed to annually report to the legislature on the Greater Minnesota Business Infrastructure Account. Section 11 makes grant money appropriated for the Contaminated Site Cleanup and Development Program available until spent. Section 12 makes a technical correction. Section 13 of the bill is language that was worked out between Representative Clark and Deed to require Deed to annually report to the legislature on the redevelopment account. Section 14 of the bill is from Representative Gazelka's House File 3133. It requires Deed to assist small businesses in accessing federal funds through the Small Business Innovation Research Program and the Small Business Technology Transfer Program. It also requires Deed to charge fees for such services and appropriates the fee receipts to Deed. And this is clarifying language that was in a rider in last year's jobs omnibus bill. Section 15 of the bill is from Representative Broad's House File 3677 and establishes the Office of Entrepreneurship at Deed to develop and implement strategies to foster entrepreneurial activity. Section 16 through 18 of the bill are from Representative Gazelka's House File 3133, and they modify language that currently allows up to 25% of three types of deed grants to be used for pre-employment training. And with this new language, it will allow more than 25% of a grant to be used for this purpose. Section 19 of the bill is Representative Lanning's House File 3857, which gives employers the option of providing statutorily required earning statements to employees by electronic means instead of in writing. Section 20 of the bill is language that was agreed upon between Representative Gunther and Representative Cornish and is from House File 3419, it requires the Commissioner of Commerce to establish a pre-purchase propane fuel program. Each summer, the Commissioner would pre-purchase propane fuel for the upcoming heating season in conjunction with the Energy Assistance Program. Section 21 of the bill strikes language setting a $25 fee for monitoring license examinations for applicants seeking licensure with the Board of Architecture, Engineering, etc. Sections 22 through 37 of the bill are Representative Westerberg's House File 3484, which establishes and regulates the Minnesota Boxing Commission.
Just a minute, Mr. Carey. I think we should talk to Mr. Westerberg about the fact that when he came, he said the first time it was a simple little bill. Got more print in this bill.
My apologies.
Maybe Representative Mahoney would like to discuss that with Mr. Ledoux.
He's such a delightful man. Of course, I'd love to speak, sit down and buy him a cup of coffee or anything else he wants.
Mr. Chair, members, this takes us up to Section 38 of the bill on page 8 of the bill summary. And Section 38 is from Representative Gazelka's House File 3133 and provides that the Director of the Public Facilities Authority serves in the unclassified state civil service. Section 39 of the bill modifies the criteria used by the Public Facilities Authority to determine whether to award a total maximum daily load grant to a particular project. Section 40 of the bill increases the bonding authority of the Public Facilities Authority from $1.25 billion to $1.5 billion to meet future needs, and Mr. Soderberg addressed that earlier. Sections 41 and 42 of the bill are from Representative Severson's House File 3561, and they authorize the designation of additional bioscience zones and specify how those zones shall be designated. Section 43 of the bill corrects language that was used to accomplish a fund transfer in the 2005 jobs on this bill. Section 44 of the bill is Representative Portman's House File 3643, and creates a task force to study the feasibility of Minnesota submitting a bid to host the Summer Olympics. Section 45 of the bill is also from Representative Westerberg's House File 3484, the Boxing Commission. This is language that Mr. Soderberg also discussed earlier. It requires the Boxing Commission to be funded from fees that it imposes and requires the Commission to submit a report to the Governor and the Legislature setting forth a fee schedule that will raise sufficient revenue to make it self-sufficient. And Section 46, the last section in Article 2, basically makes the section creating and regulating the Boxing Commission effective July 1st, 2006. Moving on to Article 3 of the bill, this article makes fiscal changes related to the implementation of Executive Order 193, which consolidated various code enforcement and licensing functions at the Department of Labor and Industry. And Mr. Soderberg also discussed how this occurred under the executive order earlier. Basically, the operating expenditures and related revenue from five code units would be consolidated in a new dedicated construction code fund effective July 1st, 2007. Most of the sections in this article simply strike or repeal provisions of current law that require the deposit of code-related fees into the special revenue fund. And Section 6 of this article creates the construction code fund and also specifically dedicates certain code-related penalties to the assigned risk safety account in the workers' compensation fund. And that money would be used for safety consultations to the construction industry. And I believe Labor and Industry testified about that before when they explained the governor's proposal. Now I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Lemire to discuss the rest of the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, that brings us to Article 4, which is on page 12 of the bill summary, and this is just the Human Services Supplemental Appropriations, which Mr. Soderberg already went through. If you turn to page 14 of the bill summary, Article 5 deals with Human Services Forecast Adjustments for the MFIP Child Care Assistance, General Assistance, Minnesota Supplemental Aid, and Group Residential Housing Programs, and then Article 6 contains policy language related to the Department of Human Services. The bulk of this article contains federal compliance language that was in the governor's bill. The two additional pieces that are in here are Section 2, which is on page 14 of the bill summary, and this is from House File 3373, Representative Nornes's bill that clarifies the absent day policy for the child care assistance programs. And then Section 3 on page 15 of the bill summary, which is from House File 3538, Representative Otremba's bill, which allows family child care providers to use mesh-sided playpens or cribs for the care or sleeping of infants. And I believe that that is it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any questions on the narrow part of our bill? Seeing none. We'll adjourn. President Park.
Okay. It's not specifically on what's here, it's kind of on what's not here. I just have a question.
Okay.
In terms of our youth employment and just all of the things that affect our teenagers and young people, everything from housing for homeless youth to after-school programs to the youth employment to the mentoring, job training, there's nothing in this bill this time to restore those cuts, is there?
No, and you and I together would have quite a list that we'd want to have it here. Unfortunately, we got a very low target, and this is not a budget year, so we couldn't do a lot of the things that we both want to do, and that's the problem.
If I could just say one thing, Mr. Chair, about this. I was late this morning because I was visiting with some folks in my district, you know, where the governor's talking about all the crime that's happening in Minneapolis, and his approach to look at it is to take money out of one of our only community-based resources in the city to help with housing and economic development, to help people be economically independent and so on, the revitalization program. And instead, you know, it just seems like a lot of the crime and the problems in our communities have to do with youth, young people not having opportunities, you know, having absolutely nothing to do, trying to get jobs, not being able to find jobs, or having the jobs be so low paid. And just the whole lack of hope that comes with opportunities and it's frustrating to me because this is the Jobs and Economic Opportunity Committee, and I just want to point out that we know, and I was talking with people this morning, we know what to do to deal with some of these crime issues for these young people. We know what makes a difference. If we have we've had testimony in this committee, if we have a homeless youth out there for 48 hours and we don't get to them, you know, that a pimp gets to them, a drug dealer gets to them, and it's so frustrating to know that we don't have anything here this year to try to stem that. And I just wanted to say that. And I'm going to be looking around for some resources to try to see if we can't work together on something like that, just at least for those youths. It's life-saving.
I know the governor has, you know, unfortunately, we have to spend $65, $66 million out of our small amount of resources for sexual predators. And that's something that is dealing with something that is here, and it's not preventing a thing. If we could start putting an emphasis on prevention, like the programs you outlined, mm-hmm. I think we would, in the future, pay huge dividends. And I think that hopefully we'll have the resources to do this in a short period. Any other questions? On Monday, we will, at 10 a.m., a lot better than 8:15 in it, we will meet in room 10 of State Office Building for public testimony on our bill. And if you wish that all testifiers wishing to testify under the Delete Everything Amendment must sign up with a committee legislative assistant, Kitty, by 5 p.m. Friday. Okay. On Tuesday, we mark up the bill at 8:15 in room 10. And all amendments the members have to the Delete Everything Amendment must be
in writing and must be received by the Committee Legislative Assistant Committee by 1 p.m. Monday. And I think that's kind of pretty normal. And I want to make sure everybody understands that so we don't have any bad feelings or anything. And any questions about what we're going to do? Representative?
Mr. Chair, just in case somebody doesn't get listed by 5 o'clock today, I'm sure you won't mind if they get put to the bottom of the list and they get to testify after everyone has signed up on today, on Tuesday, if we have the time.
If we have the time.
I was going to put that in there. I was just getting to the end of it.
It usually have time frames for a reason, and it's for the members' convenience, it's not just for mine. And we have to have order. You know, it's not fair if we make too many exceptions to people that did it right. So with that, any other Representative Slaughter?
Sure, I have a question more about sort of a process question as well. There always comes this debate of what's the debate about? What should we amend? What should we try to get in? What point should we try to get across? And, you know, we really don't want to be ruled out of order. So can you remind me what the parameters?
Last time you heard me rule somebody out of
order. I think it was about a year ago around this time, maybe the same meeting. We had a series of votes where we didn't win any of our amendments, or not too many. And I just want to make sure you don't have to rule them out of order. But if you did.
If possible, within the parameters of our budget, I promise you, probably won't be ruled out of order.
So there's about $750,000. Is that right, Mr. Chair?
Well, that's what we had in total, and it's spent within the bill. And certainly you can substitute anything you have or try to substitute anything you have for what's in the bill. And I think, as I remember being in your position, almost everything's fair game. I've heard so many creative things in the last couple of bienniums that I think I might write a book about it.
Mr. Chair, we'll look forward to reading that and writing our amendments. So.
Okay, thank you.
Perhaps.
Any other questions about the process? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.